We catch up with a veteran spelling bee champ from Wisconsin on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. History was made last week when a 14-year-old from San Antonio won the first ever spell-off at the Scripps National Spelling Bee. So the format tested the contestants on how many words they could spell correctly within 90 seconds. 90 seconds. Actor LeVar Burton hosted the bee, telling Newsy,
"I call them intellectual athletes because that's exactly what they are. They train for this. They're focused on it. They're serious about this competition."
Join in on the National Spelling Bee. Your feelings about spelling, 800-642-1234. Brad Williams is pronouncer for the Badger State Spelling Bee, has had this role for more than 40 years and was a state champion. Brad, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, and Maya Judoff, high eighth grade graduate from Vishva Homeschool in Fitchburg, competed last week. Maya, welcome back and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Wow, what a triumph, Maya, on this era of your life. Four trips to Nationals, 2020, of course, awash with a pandemic, you would have gone. Can you just reflect on how you've changed, how you've grown over these 5 years of elite spelling?
I think it's been a great journey. There's been lots of successes and a few setbacks, but there's always an element of luck. And I'm so proud to represent Wisconsin for so many years. I think I learned a lot of different things, like study skills. I learned how to set goals and manage my time. I learned perseverance and also like how to have fun while studying. And I'm so glad that I could like influence so many people.
Mm. I wonder if it was harder in 2018, you know, as like a fourth grader, not knowing what it might be that you were getting into at the National Bee, or, you know, not really knowing what was in store. Or was it more difficult as the years went on when you knew exactly how tough this competition would be?
I think I didn't have any idea what I was doing in fourth grade, but I think it got easier as I got to know more spellers and I kind of became part of the spelling community, because the like environment is really nice in the spelling world. So I think it became easier.
Hmm. Brad, you know, more than 40 years, you've seen so many spellers come and go. What makes Maya special?
Well, first of all, the fact that Maya has been able to qualify for the Nationals so many times, she basically has the record as far as Wisconsin goes. I was a spelling champion way back, but I didn't get to the Nationals until eighth grade, and that was my only shot. You have to end at eighth grade, so Maya, unfortunately, is done with her National Spelling Bee competitive experience. I would like to see her involved if she cares. I'm sorry, if she cares to do so in other ways in the future, and I'm sure she'll be interested in it as well. You can tell when Maya or some of the other frequent spellers compete at the state level, certainly, and the national, that they know what they're doing. They know the right questions to ask. They've been studying up the words as well as they can, and have a pretty good idea of what's coming. And the main reason that they installed that the new spell-off that they had this year is because at the Nationals, they have had a hard time trying to get it down to just one champion. It happened a year ago, but lately, there was 1 year they had eight co-champions because they couldn't find words to get the spellers stumped. They seemed to know every single word they had in the book. So it is something that the spellers love to do, and they are very good at it.
We're talking about what it's like to compete at the national level, the Scripps National Spelling Bee, going all the way. We have Wisconsin's Maya Jadoff. She's won the Badger State Spelling Bee 4 years in a row. Also, the pronouncer of the State Bee for decades, Brad Williams, with us. You can join in with your questions on spelling bees, your remembrances, what you want to know from Maya, 800-642-1234. Maya, how did you react when you watched that 90-second spell-off? What went through your mind?
It was really exciting. It was something new. I've never seen one before, and none of us have. But it was really exciting because I was sitting on the stage because I got out in the semifinals, and I could watch each of the spellers, and I could watch like their concentration and how they were thinking through all of the words really quickly. So it was really amazing. And I've been a part of a spelling bee community for a while, and I know Harini pretty well, Harini Logan, the champion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really exciting watching her, and we're all so proud of her.
Oh, yes. What did you make of this year's multiple choice vocabulary questions, like inserted into the live bee, not testing the ability to spell, but testing word meanings?
In previous years, there has been a preliminaries test, a written test that did have 15 vocabulary questions, but that was not oral. So in previous years, the vocabulary was all written, and this year it was all oral.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might have preferred when it was written, because then everybody got the same vocabulary words, and there wasn't really that element of luck. When everyone gets a different word, when it's oral, there's always an element of luck. And so sometimes that's frustrating.
So Brad, these vocabulary questions knocked out some elite spellers in the competition, in the live bee. What did you make of these questions and this piece of the bee?
This is something that we have been doing at the State Bee in Madison, and at some of the local bees in Wisconsin as well for several years. We have, usually in the fifth and the tenth round, brought in the oral vocabulary quiz, which most of the time, most of the spellers get the right answer pretty well. They're given two choices, A and B. At the national, it was A, B, and C, and this is the first time they had actually done it as part of the oral competition. So it's not something that necessarily was new to all of the spellers. Certainly, the spellers in Wisconsin have experienced this, and it does appear that there are some misgivings about it after people saw how it worked, because it's the nationals and they wanted to narrow the field, and certainly they had very difficult either words or questions, definitions that they put to the words. But it's something that has been part of the bee for several years now, and I agree with Maya that ideally it would be something that everybody would get the same words and they're judged on it. I know that Nebraska is one state that has a different spelling bee setup, is that they often start with a written bee and they'll have several rounds of words, and then they'll get that down to maybe 8 or 10 spellers who have had the highest scores on the written round, where everybody had the same words. And I mean, I don't think people are going to get rid of the oral rounds of the bee, because that's the exciting part that people watch on TV. And we'll see if they make a change and maybe not do the oral vocabulary words. I was a bit surprised to see them do it at the national level this year, even though we have been doing it locally.
Brad Williams, pronouncer for the Badger State Spelling Bee, with us. We have Fitchburg native Maya Jadoff. Last week she competed in her final Scripps National Spelling Bee, and has also been, you know, state champion for 4 years. Join in on the nation's largest and longest-running educational program, the National Spelling Bee. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're reflecting on the National Spelling Bee. Started with 234 contestants this year. The contest was fully in person. And this year marked a first in the Bee's nearly 100-year history, a 90-second lightning round to get to the winner. Did you watch? Join in 800-642-1234. Brad Williams is longtime pronouncer for the Badger State Spelling Bee, stays with us. And Maya Jadoff won her fourth State Bee for the final time, ending her run at the National Bee last Wednesday. Join in on Spelling Bees, 800-642-1234. Maya and Brad are with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Megan in Green Bay. Hi, Megan. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call and congratulations to Maya. I am a middle school teacher. I teach ELA, and I just wanted to share that a really cool opportunity about the spelling bee, at least in our school and regionally, is we get participation in extracurriculars because of the spelling bee from students who otherwise don't necessarily participate in athletics or other groups. And as an ELA teacher, it's just so great to see students' confidence be built through even the school-wide and regional competition. So I just think it's a great tradition to engage students in unique ways.
Megan, thank you so much for that. Maya, I would imagine, as I heard you say the word community and finding a community, that you can really hear what Megan is saying there.
Yes, I can. I think the community is really important, and being welcoming and engaging the community is really important, especially in the spelling world.
I really want to talk with you about the coaches of the Spelling Bee world. And I was reading up on this longtime coach, Grace Walters, who you had mentioned, Harini Logan, who coached this year's champion. And I'm wondering, if spellers want to win, do they need a coach or can they do this on their own?
It used to be that spellers needed a coach, their parents usually, to prepare the word lists and look up words and everything. But now there's a new online program called Spell Pundit that has all of the words compiled into different modules. Everything you need to know for the spelling bee is all there on the website. You can purchase it. Coaches are becoming less necessary for the spelling bee, but still lots of elite spellers are coached.
What might the coaching entail? Is it just to kind of keep the student on track, or is it to kind of keep the pacing of learning so much in a condensed time? What might be the value of a coach?
The value of the coach is different for every speller. But usually it's learning about roots and language rules, and then lots of quizzing. Maybe there are some tricky words that the coach can help find mnemonics and things like that.
Hmm. Brad, how have you seen the evolution of coaches?
The year that I won in Madison, it was a situation where my main coach was my middle school junior high English teacher, Mrs. Jean Hutchins. She had basically started the Spelling Bee program in Prairie du Chien, where I went to school, and she was my coach, and fortunately she got to experience the National Bee when I became the champion. And at that point, I don't know how well developed the coaching was, but I remember the very next year, the National Bee said that the winner had been tutored by somebody for 3 years. So I was aware that this was happening with other spellers. And I think when you get to the Nationals, most of the time now, I think a large percentage of the spellers who get there have been there at least once, several times in many cases, and it seems to be the thing to do to find a tutor, a coach, or someone, because this is a big deal to people, and they want to succeed at it, and I don't have that much connection to the people to coach who seeing how they go about this, but it definitely has grown over the years into something that if you want to win the Nationals, you find somebody who's going to help you.
Mm. Maya, did you have a coach?
I did have a coach. My coach was my dad, and he prepared all of my word lists. He figured out which words I needed to study most based on the words that were being asked in the Bs. He did a lot of research, and then he figured out which words were most important for me to do.
What was it like to have your dad in that position? I would imagine that, you know, sometimes you disagree with a coach, but, you know, it's your parent.
Yeah, it was hard because he had to be both the coach and he had to be the parent, and sometimes it was difficult to, like, separate those two. And also, we did disagree sometimes. But I think overall he was the best coach I could have. I have been coached by a couple other people just for quizzing, like veteran spellers. They have quizzed me, but I think that's not as important as what my dad did.
Hmm. I would imagine you are so grateful for your dad to put in that much time in order to prepare you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Maya Jadoff with us of Fitchburg and talking about the Scripps National Spelling Bee, her experiences over the years, and Brad Williams, pronouncer for the Badger State Spelling Bee. You can join in 800-642-1234. Maya, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but now that you're not devoting all this time to studying word origins and root words and language rules and memorizing, what will you do with this time that you'd normally devote to training for bees?
Well, of course, I have high school coming up. I play the oboe and tennis, and I have some camps I'm doing over the summer. One is for school, and one is a stay-away camp at University of San Diego. So I'll be busy over the summer, and I hope that I can use some of my extra time to contribute to the Spelling Bee communities locally and help with those things.
What would you like to do most to give back?
I would like to help younger spellers, inspire them, and help teach them what they need to know if they want to be spellers, about languages and roots and what kind of words are being asked. So I would really like to help younger spellers.
Hmm. Brad, how does that sound? Why should students compete in spelling bees and give back once their era is done?
It's a very good idea. What I've been doing for the last several years is giving back. I've probably given back more than the spelling bee gave me initially as a contestant. And, well, that's a very good feeling, and I enjoy being around all the talented people, young people who are coming up throughout the generations, and seeing what they're able to learn, finding out what the language is like. It's a skill that's going to help. I remember last week watching the Nationals, and the commentators on the program were talking about, well, here's what many of the national champions have been done. They've gone into business. Many of them have become lawyers. So these are skills that you can use in whatever you want to do later in life.
And
certainly we always appreciate people who have had the spelling bee experience being able to help out to keep this going. And it's very nice to have this in person again, because it was during COVID uncertain as to what was going to happen with spelling bees. Like,
yes.
Okay, I hope we get over this so we can get back to the kind of spelling bees we have, which it looks like we're doing.
Let's go to Leslie in Sturgeon Bay. Leslie, hi.
Hi there. I'm wondering if she can give an example or two of some difficult words.
Oh, all right. Leslie, thank you. Maya, what was the difficult word that that knocked you out of the National Bee?
The difficult word that I got out on was bronzino. It's a type of meat from a fish. It's spelled Branzino, and I spelled it with an O instead of an A. But I feel this year might have been a little different because I was pronouncing the word slightly incorrectly when I was on the stage. But I think that was the difficult word, and that's probably one of the most difficult words I've ever gotten. It's actually misspelled on lots of front menus as well.
It doesn't help. Oh, Maya and Brad, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Maya Judoff, eighth grade graduate of the Vishva Homeschool in Fitchburg, competed in her final Scripps National Spelling Bee last week, placing 32nd. Brad Williams, pronouncer for the Badger State Spelling Bee. Ahead this hour, we talk with the director of the Wisconsin Challenge Academy. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I want to highlight the work of the WPR podcast Mapped Out about the fight over legislative redistricting in Wisconsin and how it affects you. WPR has just released the final bonus episode of the award-winning podcast. Listen at WPR.org/mappedout or wherever you get your podcasts. Now to the Wisconsin National Guard Challenge Academy. This is an alternative residential education program for teens who are at risk of not graduating from high school. It is located at Fort McCoy. Graduation ceremony for the 48th class of cadets is set for Thursday. Join in on Challenge Academy. Questions, experiences, 800-642-1234. Brigadier General Joni Matthews became director of the Academy in April after a 36-year military career, retiring as Wisconsin's Deputy Adjutant General for the Army, a member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Brigadier General Matthews, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, graduation is here, right? Almost here. And, you know, you've been to past graduations. Can you describe the energy and the moment of the ceremony?
Oh, we're all really excited about Thursday. And actually, the graduation ceremonies is what brought me to really love Challenge Academy. At each graduation ceremony I've been to, the whole place just lights up as the cadets march into the gymnasium floor. The bleachers are filled with people and everybody's hollering and yelling and screaming and just screaming out their cadets, just filled with pride and emotion. And the cadets are walking proudly into their seats with looks on their face of just such excitement. And I get chills just thinking about it, because it's such a great moment for them and for the families. They're so proud of their cadet.
How do teens find their way to Challenge Academy?
Well, we try to market as much as possible, and that's, thank you for having us on the show, because we are definitely looking for candidates right now for the July class. So we have many ways to market the program, talking to school districts, talking to legislatures, putting it on all types of social media, just getting the word out, because it's such an important program for our youth who are at risk of graduating high school.
Can you explain more specifically what type of student is eligible for the program?
Well, there is some criteria that we have to follow for a student to be eligible for the program. And they have to be between 16 and 18 years old. And like I mentioned, at risk for graduating high school, either dropped out, not attending, or over 1 year behind in credits. They can't be currently on parole or adult probation. They could never have been charged, indicted, or convicted of a felon. And they must be a citizen or a legal resident of the United States.
How do you work with school districts to find possible candidates for what could be a very different type of schooling?
Again, it's all about partnership. We have instructors here, licensed instructors, who reach out to the schools, and we also have outreach coordinators who are constantly communicating. We have an excellent working relationship with DPI, Department of Public Instruction, who's helping us with the outreach as well. And they also help us with getting the students their GEDs. This year, this class, we're extremely proud that every graduate is going to graduate with a GED.
How many graduates do you have in this class?
We will have 71 this class.
And have you seen the classes grow, get smaller over the years? What is enrollment like?
Well, enrollment over the last couple of years has been a struggle because of COVID, and I'm sure it has been across the country with all the Challenge Academies. We have 41 Challenge Academies across 30 states, and every one of them have had a challenge with enrollment and with graduation rates. But we're trying to, now that COVID is hopefully on the decline, then we'll hope our enrollment will come back up again.
I would imagine that going to the academy, starting out, can be quite a shock at first. Is there an acclimation type phase to it? What is that like in those first weeks?
Yeah, there definitely is. And we hold an orientation for interested families and potential cadets to come to get an idea of what Challenge Academy is like. We just had one yesterday where we had probably about 20 youth who came, and the parents come with them or their guardian, and they learn about the Challenge Academy. They get toured around our campus by a couple of our cadets, and then they also get the parents, while the cadets or the students are getting their tour, the families stay in the classroom, and they can ask a different set of cadets questions about what Challenge Academy is like. And during that orientation, we tell the potential cadets to 2 weeks prior to enrolling is get used to the schedule. They do get up at 5:20 in the morning and bed by 9. So we highly recommend that they start going to bed early. We also highly recommend that 2 weeks prior, if they smoke cigarettes, if they drink any type of alcohol or any kind of illegal drug, that they stop that 2 weeks prior. We also ask them to stop using their phone, because once they come to the Challenge Academy, all of that goes away. And if you don't stop that 2 weeks prior, then you're going to have those issues with withdrawal. And it's already difficult acclimating to this new environment of being at the Challenge Academy. And then if you have those other things that you're trying to give up at the same time, that just compounds the acclimation.
How much contact does the cadet have with their family during their time in the academy?
They get some passes throughout the 5.5 months. They also get to call their families after the 2 week period. They get a few, I think it's 10 minutes, and then it increases as time goes along. The cadets earn those minutes. They have to make sure that they follow the rules and guidelines that we set. And if they earn those, then they can earn more time to call on Sundays.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Challenge Academy with its director, Brigadier General Joni Matthews, the academy using a military-style environment to work with at-risk youth ages 16 to 18. And this is the 48th Challenge Academy class that's graduating Thursday. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Makai Pfeiffer, who is a cadet. Makai, hi. What is your experience?
Hello, ma'am. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
What has your experience been like, Makai, as a cadet?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Overall, just positive. Being introduced to a new culture, a new healthier style of living, has just made a very positive change on me.
You were a big procrastinator. What are you like now?
I don't procrastinate like that much at all anymore. I think having a schedule that you have to stick to, having study hall every day, just encourages you to get what you need to do done. And now that I've been getting what I need to do done and then had time to do other things, I see that's actually very beneficial to just do what you have to do when you have time to do it and then have your free time on the side. So being here has kind of helped me growing out of my procrastinating ways.
How much support do you get from people inside the academy? How much do you feel like you have a support system there because you're away from your family?
Yes, ma'am, definitely. I mean, your family can still serve as a support system through phone calls and letters, but not only that, I've built amazing relationships with, like, my fellow cadets here, my team leaders, my senior team leaders have all encouraged me. Just the support system as a whole is just very strong here. You feel like everybody's on your side because all cadets are here for some of the same reasons. You had trouble in school, or maybe you had trouble with just procrastination, laziness. So you all are there kind of support each other and fighting the same demons in one way or another.
What's it like not being able to have your phone? That is a very serious question, Makai. Very serious.
It is, though. For me personally, it takes time to adjust the lack of freedom. Like, hey, what does this mean? Can I look it up? Hey, I want to watch this video. I can look it up on my phone. But after about 2 or 3 weeks, you start to get used to it. And me personally, I've come to enjoy it. Like, I can get a lot of enjoyment out of other things besides my phone. It's like I'm not like a slave to it, looking down at it, looking at recent news or just things of the sort. I can actually take in the real world.
Are you graduating Thursday?
Yes, ma'am.
What happens after graduation?
For me personally, I plan to go to the military.
And which branch of the military, may I ask?
The Navy, ma'am.
What was your decision like to pursue military service? What kind of clicked in your head?
I always had an interest for the military, even before enrolling here, but being able to experience that quasi-military lifestyle and being able to succeed here the way I believe I did just kind of reinforced those interests I already had. So I'm planning ever since then. I've been planning to go to the Navy and then pursuing college after that.
Well, Makai, it's been really good to talk with you. Is there anything else you wish to share about your experience?
Yes, ma'am. Just like I said, just overall positive. It's really helped not only me, but like tons of friends and peers I've made here just help get their life back on the right path and just moving at a good pace in life to just be successful. Just from my peers alone that I've talked to, it's really evident that some of the team leaders here, or just staff here in general, have just helped them turn their lives and make their lives better.
Well, Cadet Pfeiffer, all the best to you. Thank you for calling in. Brigadier General Joni Matthews, this must feel really good for you to hear an outcome like this.
It really does. It fills my heart with pride. I love all of these cadets. They all have positive attitudes and they're looking forward to Thursday.
You know, the cadets observe the standard military customs and courtesies. Do you see this program as a gateway into military service?
It is for some, but really, we've only had a very small percentage of folks join the military.
Yes, I saw 6%.
Yeah, it's not very big. I mean, we do have a quasi-military model. It gives folks the idea of what military is like, and if they want to join the military, then they will. And it's not for everybody, and that's not our goal. Our goal is to help those cadets with whatever goal they want. If they want to go into trades, if they want to go, you know, to college, if they want to go Job Corps, whatever the case may be, we help them with their goal, not necessarily gearing them towards the military.
Talking with Brigadier General Joni Matthews, directs the Wisconsin National Guard Challenge Academy. The Academy works with struggling youth in its 22-week residential program at Fort McCoy. What are your questions and experiences relating to the Challenge Academy? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a moment on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Brigadier General Joni Matthews, director of the Wisconsin National Guard Challenge Academy, administered by the State Department of Military Affairs, located on Fort McCoy. The 48th class of cadets, as we've been talking about, will be honored Thursday in a commencement ceremony set to take place at Stevens Point Area High School. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. And Brigadier General Matthews with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring Katie in from Racine County. Katie, hi. What is your story?
Well, it's just so ironic, and I just felt like I needed to call in because I was talking with a friend like 2 nights ago, and she said her son had really been struggling and he hadn't gotten into trouble, but he was going to. And they went, he went to this Challenge Academy and he was there for 6 months and he loved it. And I'm not going to say that he's like, he's graduating from high school, which is fantastic. He's not really sure what he wants to do, but it got his brother to go into the reserves. And that child was also kind of struggling with what he wanted to do. So, you know, it didn't just help the one boy to graduate from high school. It helped the other boy, you know, find some purpose. And that other boy, he then was like the star cadet when he went to the reserves. So she was so proud of them. So you just never know what it might, what positive thing it might do. But she said it was just fantastic for him.
Oh, Katie, thank you so much for sharing that story. And, you know, Brigadier General, we haven't brought this up yet, but each cadet has a mentor and, you know, this unrelated community member nominated by the cadet and the family. Can you explain a little bit about that type of guidance in the program?
Yeah, it's really critical that there's a good relationship with the mentor and that cadet, because a mentor does a lot of provides a lot of support to that cadet, not only through the residential phase, but also the post-residential phase, to help that cadet continue going down the right path. And if, like I mentioned, if they want to go into a trade or vocational school, or if they want to join the military, whatever they want to do, that mentor is there for them. If the cadet is struggling after graduation, that mentor is there to pick them back up again. So it's a really critical role for that mentor. And we really do appreciate each and every one of them that we have.
What background might a mentor have? How do they step into a role like that?
Well, we do have to provide them with some training. It's online training. And then we do some background checks. And then basically that's about it.
Okay. Let's bring in Kurt in Appleton with a question. Kurt, hi.
Hi. I was just going to ask the general, what percentage of the kids like start in the graduating class of 48, how many did they start with? And then how many finished?
That's a really good question. We started with about 100 and we're graduating 71. So it's about a 30% attrition rate.
Kurt, what is your reflections on that? Do you think that that is surprising or not?
Well, I'm a principal of a high school. We sent a boy there and he came back, you know, he didn't make it. So I was wondering, I knew it wouldn't be something like 90%. So I guess I just needed to hear that.
Thank you so much for the call. Brigadier General, what do you see as you reflect on the graduation rate?
So it is totally up to the cadet. They can leave at any time. We're not locking them in. They're not in jail. They can withdraw. Their parents can withdraw them. It's not a requirement because it's their decision to be here. It's their decision to change their life. It's their decision to improve. So we can't force them to do that. And so after a few weeks, you know, there's cadets that say, this is just not for me. I'm leaving, or, you know, for whatever reason. And we're, like I said, we're not going to make them stay. We want them to be successful, but we don't want to force it.
What about cadets with disabilities? Can they attend?
Like physical disabilities or?
Or learning disabilities?
I mean, they provide us with a medical exam. So we do review those. And then we take each one on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. And are there physical fitness tests at the academy, or what role does fitness have in the program?
Physical fitness is definitely part of the residential phase. They do some type of physical fitness every day of the week. They start out, one thing that we just did when they first come to the academy, they run 1 mile. And they're gasping and they can't believe it. And it's so hard. And as they go through the 5.5 months, they did a 5 mile just to show them, you know, you can do it. And then the following week, they did a 1 mile again. And they were realizing how much they've improved physically.
Why 5 months? Why 22 weeks for the residential piece of this?
That's a really good question. I'm sure there was some study that was done that said 5.5 months is the right amount of time. But that question, I'm sorry, I cannot answer.
Talking about the Wisconsin Challenge Academy, Brigadier General Joni Matthews, Director of the Academy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You are recently the new director of the Academy, and your career, you had so many firsts. First female Native American general officer in the Army National Guard, first non-medical female colonel, Wisconsin Army National Guard's first female brigade commander. How does your personal story influence how you'll work with cadets?
Well, I'm never one to really talk about that because I just look at myself as, you know, I do what I enjoy. I do the best job I can. And if I'm recognized, great. If not, I'm just going to keep doing what I can, the best I can, to say I'm trying, right? So, you know, I don't like to tout that I'm the first. But when I do talk to the cadets, I tell them my story of growing up, that, you know, everybody has their struggles. And sure, I got involved with alcohol at a very young age, but I got away from it. I moved away from it, and I put myself through college. And I talk about those struggles that can relate to that youth. I mean, if I was to say I was the first female general officer, they're like, okay, what does that mean? And I'm not one to do that anyway. So I just try to relate to what it was like with me growing up and hopefully help them and be a positive role model for them. That's, you know, that's why I wanted to be the director, because I really enjoy working with the youth, and it's really, it's important for me to help them to succeed in their lives.
Hmm. How did you break away from alcohol, from drugs? What was it that you were able to rise above that?
I moved away after I graduated high school. I moved away from those types of activities and friends. And I just went off on my own and moved to the big city of Minneapolis. And I worked there for a couple of years, and I realized there's more to life than working. So I went to college.
We have time here for another testimonial. Mike called from Williams Bay, couldn't stay with us, and says he drove a charter bus with a group of cadets, a part of the academy. They were on a field trip and says it was such a wonderful group of people and such a great program. I want to thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us, Brigadier General. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for calling or having me on the call. I just wanted to reemphasize the importance of this program. It's so beneficial for our youth. It's no cost to families. Each cadet graduates with at least three college credits to the Technical College, Wisconsin Technical College. We have small class sizes, and it's not just about getting their GED, but they learn life skills. They learn self-discipline. They learn motivation, teamwork, working with others, value. And there's so many other soft skills that are beneficial for youth for the Challenge Academy.
Brigadier General Joni Matthews leads Wisconsin Challenge Academy. We have a link at wpr.org/mornings. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.